let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The latest installment of the Smithsonian Channel's critically acclaimed franchise, The Lost Tapes, tells the harrowing story of a city on edge. The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, marking the 40th anniversary of the Son of Sam murders, a murder spree that began in late July 1976, terrorizing New York City for more than a year, killing six, critically wounding seven others. The Lost Tapes, The Son of Sam is produced by Tom Jennings, a multi-award-winning documentary filmmaker and Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist. He's written, produced, directed more than 400 hours of programming for CBS, Discovery, PBS History Channel, National Geographic, MSNBC, Investigation Discovery, and others. Among his documentaries, the Fidel Castro tapes, MLK, the Assassination Tapes, a Peabody Award winner, Taking Down the Mob, the Lost JFK Tapes, this year's The Lost Tapes LA Riots. He started his career as a print journalist for the LA Times and Associated Press. Tom launched his own company in 2004, and 2012, rebranding it 1895 Films to reflect its expansion into international productions. And now producer of The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, premiering Sunday, July 30th, 9 Eastern Pacific, 8 Central on Smithsonian Channel. Filmmaker Tom Jennings back with us on This Week in America. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Rick. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here again.
Really looking forward to this. The New York Daily News calls The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, anything but a standard rehash of the shop-worn story, the so-called .44 caliber killer. You once again use your in-the-moment style of storytelling. It really makes us feel like we're back in 76, 77, sensing the fear, the city on edge. This really is the ultimate in authentic storytelling, isn't it?
I think it is, yes. And I think it is because there's, we're as close to the source material as you can get.
Yes.
In that there's no narrator explaining what's going on. There are no interviews with people who experienced it at the time, looking back, telling you what it was like. Instead, you're seeing it as it's playing out. Granted, in a format for a one-hour television documentary, but we go to great lengths to make sure that everything in these programs is 100% accurate. It's accurate to the time. The images are accurate to the time. The story is told in a way that is 100% accurate to what the media knew at the time. Granted, some of these things will be revisited years later, and you find out that, oh, maybe there was a different part of the story that was never brought out during the time the story was going on. But this does, Son of Sam, The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, this particular show, it really drops you into the middle of New York City in 1976 and 1977. And New York, as you know, Rick, was a very different place back then than it is today.
Yeah, it wasn't fun city back then, was it?
No, people describe it as dystopian, which is, I mean, if you say, you know, in trying to, you know, recollect other than watching our show, you just think of movies like Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver,
yes,
for example,
yes,
or Midnight Cowboy with Dustin Hoffman. The central city itself, people describe it as being very seedy. There was chaos in the, you know, running of the city. It was in a financial crisis. Crime was rampant. And one of the reasons why Sam Berkowitz, David Berkowitz, who was eventually arrested, one reason he was able to kind of fly under the radar is that he was doing these killings in the outer boroughs of the city, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, but he was moving around a lot, and they would only happen once every few months. And so crime was so common that the police at first never put any of this together. They just thought it's another random shooting. And it wasn't until his fourth killing, 6 months, 8 months later, that they said, wait a minute, this gun used in all of these crimes is the same weapon. And that's when they realized they had a serial killer on their hands.
How did things change? I think it was the sixth murder, April 17th, 1977. He leaves a note behind saying that he's going to continue killing as the Son of Sam. And now we've got a name that really seemed to resonate with the media and the public. How did things change after that killing?
Well, I think people became more afraid, first
yes.
of all. how things change. After the fourth shooting, they put together that the gun was the same, and they created a task force called the 44 caliber task force, which eventually became something called the Omega task force, that which had up to 300 detectives throughout the city working this case. When he left that letter at the crime scene and signed himself Son of Sam, as you say, it gives him this moniker all of a sudden. You know, it no longer becomes the task force of with the police and the detectives no longer becomes the 44 caliber killer, which is notorious enough. Now he's got a name, and you know, Son of Sam, which makes people start to think, well, who's Sam? You know, and who's his son, and what's this about? It just had this kind of tinge of wickedness and evil to it that really fed people's fears at the time, because he was in his letter to the police at the crime scene, and then later he would write letters to Jimmy Breslin, the New York Daily News columnist. He basically was taunting the police, the media, the residents of the city, saying, I'm just going to keep doing this, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. And by the way, my name is Son of Sam, and it just flipped people out at the time.
We're talking about the lost tape, Son of Sam, the harrowing story of a city on edge, premiering Sunday, July 30th, 9 Eastern Pacific, 8 Central on Smithsonian Channel. Produced by award-winning documentary filmmaker, our guest on the program, Tom Jennings. You do an excellent job of capturing the fear in the city. You've got people walking to work looking over their shoulders. You've got a young lady saying, you have to be careful. You have to watch where you go. A guy talking about his sister doesn't leave home anymore. It really put the city almost on lockdown, didn't it?
Oh, I think lockdown is a very good description. If not lockdown in the sense that, you know, people stopped going to work, it was certainly lockdown in the sense that when night fell in New York during those months, that year and a half from 76 to 77, people changed how they lived their lives, in that they wouldn't go out at night, especially young women with long dark hair. That seemed to be the one thing that connected all of these cases. And so people changed how they went out. You know, they'd always go out with friends. Women describe, you know, wanting to color their hair, even cut their hair, so that they wouldn't fit the image of the victims of the Son of Sam. It when you think about a place like New York and, you know, the brashness of it, and people are willing to just, you know, take on any challenge, one guy with a gun just put the city on edge in a way that few people have ever been able to do. It's remarkable to watch, and you just wonder, wow, you know, how is this possible that New York City, home to so many people that are so filled with such pride of being New Yorkers, suddenly were terrorized, literally terrorized, by one guy with a gun who would walk out of the shadows, kill a couple of people, innocents, and disappear back into the shadows. I think the arbitrariness of it just was too much for people to take.
Which made him difficult to capture, and the New York City Police, one of the top police forces in the country, has the largest task force in the city history, and you show their frustration as well in the lost tape, Son of Sam. You've got some of the police people saying, we've got nothing to go on. I mean, they really hit brick walls wherever they went.
I like doing these shows, and especially with this one, because you get to revisit the media and, of course, the police at the time and what they would say. And it was a very different time as far, you know, now everything would appear to be so managed by press spokesmen.
Yes.
People speaking on behalf of the task force. These reporters, especially television, because we rely a lot on television and radio, they would be able to just talk to, not necessarily the head of the task force, but many of the lieutenant detectives that were actually doing the hard work. And you're referencing one moment in the show where there's this detective standing there, and the reporter on camera says, you know, what's it going to take to catch this guy? And he literally says, it's just going to take a lot of luck. We're just going to have to be close to one of the shootings when it happens. Otherwise, there's nothing we can do.
And you talk about luck. It's a parking ticket that actually brings down the son of Sam. Talk about how that happened.
So the night of his last killing, Berkowitz used to tell, after he was caught, he told the police that, which makes the story even more frightening, that he was out almost every night during this crime spree looking to kill people. But he only killed people once every 2 or 3 months. And the reason why he did what, you know, why he was caught is because he parked in front of a fire hydrant. And he explained to police that normally he would drive around and he would look for these young couples on lovers' lanes in residential areas. And if he could find a parking space, he would park and shoot them. And that's how he did his killings. So you can imagine he's out almost every night, but he can't find a place to park in New York to kill somebody that he sees, but, you know, once every couple of months. This particular night, he finds a parking space, but he doesn't realize that there's a fire hydrant there. And one of the things that the police were doing, you know, they were trying everything, as you can imagine, is that they were checking traffic citations, both, moving violations and parking tickets around scenes of these killings. And they pulled the ticket of this fire hydrant. They went and they talked to a woman who was a resident of the building in which the fire hydrant was in front of. She recalled seeing this guy. She said, Berko, she's in the film. She talks about, yeah, he walked right by me. And, you know, and what's very creepy is she says to the reporter, she goes, you know, he looked nice. I didn't know he was a killer. But the police, from what she described of this guy, they track down the car, and they find the car parked outside of Berkowitz's apartment, and they look inside, and they see guns. And they think, this is probably the guy. And they start talking with neighbors, and they realize, we think we got the right guy. They wait for him outside. Walks out of his apartment, he's arrested, and almost immediately admits, yep, you got me, I'm the son of Sam.
Yep, those famous words, you got me. This is remarkable storytelling, it's remarkable television. The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, premiering Sunday, July 30th, 9 Eastern Pacific, 8 Central on Smithsonian Channel. Our guest once again has been Tom Jennings, the award-winning documentary filmmaker. Tom, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Hopefully get together back in November when the next installment of The Lost Tapes will come up. We'll be watching The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam on Smithsonian. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.